Yeah, still alive, Slee. They've got a heartbeat. They're headed to Atlanta. Chris Taylor.
Still kicking.
AJ Pollock. Still kicking. Let me just start right there. Like Chris just said, it's a feel-good Friday, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about what you're going to see in Atlanta? Or just off the tee, you feel good about it, or do you feel as good as you can about it?
Dogfight. That's a tough game, because if you think the Braves are just also going to say, oh, the momentum is all with the Dodgers, and they're going back to Atlanta. They got one of the three in you know, obviously at Dodger Stadium, which is, by the way, you know, that's you got one of three. Mm-hmm. Dodgers took two.
They did what the Dodgers couldn't do, went on the road.
I guess in a sense did what they needed to do. But you go back to Atlanta, that place is going to be an unbelievable environment tomorrow. They got a chance to win a World Series. And if you're the Dodgers, hey, we're riding some momentum. Max Scherzer is going to be on the mound. It's a dogfight. I don't know. I don't think you could sit here today and say one way or the other you feel a certain way.
This is what's so weird.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about it, but not for the reason that you would think you would feel pretty good about it. Mm-hmm. That Scherzer's pitching is fine. It's good. I hope he pitches well, but that's not why I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good because their bullpen has been unbelievable.
By the way,
I feel pretty good because
absolutely.
It feels like they found some sort of offensive strategy last night. It's more that I'm betting on something that I don't even necessarily believe in, like the momentum kind of carrying over and swinging the bats and the bullpen being as good as it's been, much more so than, hey, I think Max Scherzer might go seven innings and lock them up.
Well, I mean, you know, the momentum piece, kind of interesting, right? Because you had the Atlanta Braves that obviously had all the momentum after winning the first two games, mm-hmm. which could have gone either way. You know, Dodgers should have won one of those two games in Atlanta. If they don't win this series, it's because of Game 2. In my opinion, it's because of Game 2. Game 2 is the one Julio came in. You had
wrong.
A 4-2 lead.
You're not wrong.
That kind of swung the series if they don't end up winning it. But when you thought the Braves had some momentum, and then all the way to the eighth inning of the game in Game 3, and then boom, Bellinger hits that three-run homer. Mookie comes right after that. Momentum shifts to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Will the momentum of the Dodgers go to Game 4? No.
Yeah.
Braves will win that game and there'll be zero momentum.
Yeah.
And then the Dodgers come back. Where's their momentum? They kind of come out of nowhere.
There's been no mo in this entire series. It's kind of
nothing
been all
consistent.
Over the place. Here's Rudy on Twitter. I like seeing new Twitter handles. Rudy, welcome. Chris Taylor's postgame interview reminded me of Ricky Bobby after he won his first race. I think that's where we're at. I don't know what to do with my hands. What do I do with my hands? It did feel a little reminiscent of that, Rudy. That's pretty good.
Fantastic example.
It's perfect.
That's a great example.
Good job by you, Rudy. Very quickly before we get to the Lakers and the NBA All 75 list, let's go to Temecula and Larry. Larry, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, I was listening a couple segments ago. You guys were talking about ice skating and the challenge of getting on the ice and just getting across a sheet of ice on a skate. Mm-hmm. You know, I've often wanted to call in and comment about hockey players. Okay, I could make the argument the greatest single athlete in the history of professional sports was Wayne Gretzky. To do what that man did on a sheet of ice on a little skate was unbelievable. The guy held at one time 81, I believe is the number, 81 National Hockey League records. And until you've tried to play hockey, you have no idea the skill that's required to do what those guys do, skating up to 20, 25 miles an hour, handling a puck, passing the puck, shooting like a one-timer.
With
it's
someone trying to hurt you.
With nobody trying to knock you down. To play ice hockey is a skill that, until you've tried, you have no idea the difficulty. And Gretzky, to me, is the greatest athlete ever of any sport, any place.
Yeah, Larry, it's interesting. Thank you for the call. His accomplishments relative to his peers and his sport are so much further and farther away from the next goal. Like Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, whoever you want, you know, Willie Mays, they're the greatest players of their sport. But there are other guys that are really close. There's nobody that's on the same level as Gretzky. 81 records? I don't think Barry Bonds has 81 records in Major League Baseball.
Listen, I wake up in the middle of the night to go get some water. I stumbled twice. I spilled a little bit of water. And these guys are doing what they're doing pretty damn impressive.
Speaking of Gretzky, the Kings Kings and the Dallas Stars tonight at 5:30 on ESPN Plus. It's the NHL on ESPN Plus all season long. And if you're a Kings fan, you're a hockey fan, Andrzej Kopitar joined me and Slee yesterday. You can catch that on the Travis and Sliwa podcast. So you got a chance to do that as well. The NBA's All 75 list, Al, is out. Here's a list of Dodgers. Some of them legends.
Lakers.
And Lakers. Thank you. No Dodgers made the list.
You are in Dodger mode right now.
No Dodgers are on the NBA's 75 best player list. I'm sure that, I don't know, there's probably been a basketball player or two in the group, but Kareem, Elgin Baylor, Kobe, Wilt, Anthony Davis, LeBron, Magic, Karl Malone, George Mikan, Steve Nash, Shaq, Gary Payton, Dennis Rodman, Jerry West, James Worthy, Carmelo Anthony, and Russell Westbrook. That's a lot of Lakers. Now, some of them are part-timers there, but that's a lot of Lakers on a just – we're not talking 100, 150, 75. That's a lot of guys.
Who didn't get on that you – I want to read off a couple. I'm going to read off a couple messages here because this one's actually a little bit surprising to me. There's some players. Look, I can tell you a few that I thought should have got on and probably a couple that, you know, surprised me that got on that shouldn't have been on there. And when you kind of name off all those Lakers, mm-hmm. I think the main players they got right. I would make an argument for – if I'm going to make an argument for a Laker,
mm-hmm.
I would try to make an argument for Powell.
Okay.
That's a player I would try to make. And I don't know how
Not
much –
Dwight?
I don't know how much the international game is a part of this mix,
mm-hmm.
but Powell I would try to make an argument for. Dwight, out of all the articles that have come out, Dwight seems to be the one that everybody says, you guys forget what this guy's accomplishments were. Do you forget how good of a player that he was for X amount of years, defensive player of the year, how many first all NBA teams, all the all-star games? There's another one. I'm on more of the boat of how does the San Antonio Spurs won how many championships over that stretch?
Five, right?
That's just one player gets credit for that one. That I mean, how Manu Ginobili is not a part of that list is a little kind of surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
A Tony Parker, one of these other Spurs players. I mean, somebody could say, oh, well, David Robinson's
Sean
on
Elliott.
There.
Sean Elliott? Rajah Bell?
Definitely Sean Elliott. Can I read you something from Klay Thompson?
Yeah, well, that's the guy to me, Al, that just makes no sense at all. And I know that Klay has tweeted about this, and we'll read his tweet coming up here in just a second.
It was actually on Instagram, okay?
Instagram.
It's your social right, bro.
Same idea. TikTok. Facebook?
MySpace.
MySpace?
Yep.
What else we got?
I don't know.
It's all good.
The fact we went that far was damn impressive.
The game changed about, I don't know, what, 10, 12 years ago? It changed dramatically. It was one thing, and then it's another thing.
Yeah.
And two people changed it.
Mm-hmm.
Steph and Klay. They changed. Steph's on the list, and he should be. And Steph was, you know, Steph is Steph. He's
more
a multiple-time MVP.
Steph more than Klay.
100% agree. Mm-hmm. But if you talk to anybody that knows basketball and you say, name the five greatest shooters that have ever played, Klay Thompson's on that list. You could probably even get shorter than five, and Klay Thompson is on that list. He is a multiple-time champion. Winning, to your point about Ginobili and Parker, that the Warriors had a 5-6 year run where they're the best team in basketball. They won 73 games, and Klay Thompson won a bunch of those games for those people.
Of course
he is as explosive an offensive player mm-hmm. as you're ever going to see. He's a really good defensive player. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you have this list when the game has gone to about shooting and spacing, and one of the greatest shooters that has ever put on a pair of sneakers is not on the list. It feels incredibly disrespectful, which is what Klay said. Woke up this morning still pissed about this stupid-ass list. GD, I can't wait to hoop again. Sick of the disrespect. Winning isn't everything to some people, like I guess to me, or it is to me, I guess.
Yesterday he said, maybe I'm just naive in my ability to play basketball, but in my head, I'm top 75 all time.
Of course he
okay,
is.
Okay, let me ask this question. Throw this out there. Damian Lillard's on the top 75 list. Damian Lillard's one of the best players in the NBA. When
sure.
you have a conversation about top 10 players in the NBA, very, very difficult not to put Damian Lillard in that top 10.
I could, yes.
He's been on an organization that has not won a championship or made a championship run.
They've been good, not great.
They've been good, not great. But he's been the best player on his team.
Yep.
Steph Curry's won an MVP. Steph Curry has done things where you would argue, well, Steph Curry's the best player on that team. I don't argue the Klay piece. I don't. But if you're – just use that as an example. Klay or Dame I can't sit here and tell you an answer because I'm with you, because I was also the one watching Klay Thompson in Game 6 on the road, Oklahoma City Thunder against Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry's kind of he's not being Steph Curry. It's Klay Thompson that's shutting people down on one end and then putting up 40 points and hitting big time threes. That's who Klay Thompson has 37 points in a quarter.
That's so stupid.
You take Dame off.
Yeah. Yeah, look.
That's what you're comparing. Okay, Anthony, let's use AD as an example.
Mm-hmm.
AD's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Does AD have a more polished career? You can't say it because he's 28 years old than Dwight Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, maybe in
there's
8 years.
There's some projection
years,
on this.
That's what
there,
it
there's
is.
Some
there's
projection,
projection,
which
on
is
it.
Why Luka Doncic not being on the list doesn't make any sense. If you can put Shaq on after 5 minutes in the league for the 50th greatest players, you can put Luka on this list. Let's stay with Klay for a second, mm-hmm. because I want to go back to what you're talking about with Dame
Don't
and Klay.
Stop pointing at me.
That Dame Lillard is a great player, full stop, and I have no problem with him being on this list. None mm-hmm. at all. He's amazing. Did Damian Lillard change the NBA? No. He became a great player in the NBA as it was changing. The Golden State Warriors changed the NBA. They did. They didn't just go win a couple of championships. Let me back up a little further. When Mike D'Antoni was doing his thing in Phoenix a million years ago with Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire, they changed their philosophy. They played a certain way where they were just going to shoot, play as fast as you can, and it almost worked.
You could say that was kind of the start of it.
But it didn't change everything. The Warriors changed, and now every team plays like the Warriors. Every team goes out there and shoots as many threes as they can. They space the floor, and they basically shoot threes and dunks. That's basketball as it's played. And the two guys that changed that are Curry and Thompson.
I don't think when you say change the NBA, I think most people would say Steph's style of basketball.
Yes.
Change the NBA. And by the way,
but can Steph do what he did? And look, I'm the biggest Steph fan in the world.
Klay
had to be there with him to do it.
No, you're right. And I don't argue that. I think this goes, let's use the that Suns team that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest difference with Klay Thompson and let's say the Suns, or the difference with Steph Curry. Bro, he'll go lock up the best shooting guard in the NBA. That's what Klay Thompson does. You know what Damian Lillard can't do? He can't lock up the best team in the NBA or the best player in the NBA. But again, I'm going to go back to this. If this is the difficult part when there are players still in the league, how do I know 8 years from now what Anthony Davis's resume is going to look like, or what Damian Lillard's resume is going to look like, or you know what I'm saying? That it's more difficult to. You were just saying you're not going to put Luka on this list.
You can't tell me with a straight face that Luka Doncic is not one of the 75 best players ever to play in that league. That's just it's a ridiculous statement. You know, you may be, hey, he's got to play at least 8 years, 10 years. Okay, if that's the rule, that's fine. But in the 75 years of this league,
but can I give you an example?
Skill set, we haven't seen that before.
You're 100% right. But can I just give you an example? Let's just say 10 years from now, we're talking about Devin Booker as one of the top 25 players to ever play the game. I don't know that today.
Mm-hmm.
Luka, you're right. Luka's it's a
no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, right? Yeah. And right when you say Luka, all of a sudden the Suns are like,
why is he not
Sacramento Kings saying we're going to be the worst franchise for 10 years because we took Bagley. Like you start going down the list.
Well, there's a handful of
all the
guys,
franchises
right,
that
come
it.
Into the league that I don't need 10 years to see it. I see Magic Johnson for a year, like, oh, that's different. You see LeBron James, that's different. You see Luka Doncic, that's different. There are just some guys that, for instance, when Kobe came into the league, it wasn't right away where you're like, what in the world is that?
No, it wasn't.
I think that's going to be really good, but let's see what it turns into. And it turned into one of the greatest of all time. LeBron, you didn't have to be a basketball player. Who's the best player? That dude.
Sure.
Him. Him.
Magic after his rookie year, winning a
him,
championship
him.
On the road.
I won that
and
one.
And suiting up at center.
That's
you're like,
Luka.
Yeah, he's going to be pretty good.
That's Luka. And he's not on the list. And I always do this too. Can you tell the story of your league?
Keeps pointing at
right?
me, Taylor.
No, I'm pointing to the universe. Can you tell the story of your league without telling the story about the Warriors? You absolutely cannot.
No, you can't.
They're part of the arc of the NBA. The NBA used to be big men played inside, outside, you know, and now it's played outside and in. And the reason is because the Warriors changed it because they found a 6'3" guy that can make 40-footers like their layups.
Yep.
And it changed the league. And then they found another guy that never misses.
It's a fantastic conversation to have. And no matter what that list is, you want to put Klay on there, somebody else is not going to be on there. If somebody else isn't on there, somebody's going to argue about another player. And I think that, you know, I think it will not change no matter what happens, but we could hit a little bit more on this. By the way, what do you think Michael's going to say? That's going to be interesting tonight, pregame show.
Yeah, you got some stuff to talk about. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline.
Okay, let's do this. When we come back, we'll take some of these calls. I know there's a few people that want to give their reasons of who should be on the list, who should not be on the list. And look, I'll throw it out there.
Let's kick some people off, too. That's always fun.
Let me throw it out there. Pau Gasol, is he one of the top 75 players to ever play the game? Dwight Howard, is he one of the top 75 players to ever play the game? Are there current guys on the list that shouldn't be on the list? All that coming up next. By the way, we still got to preview the Lakers and the Suns tonight. Stay right here. Travis and Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Chris said it is a feel-good Friday. Dodgers win last night. Lakers get a chance to win their first game of the season tonight. There's a lot of good. It's just Friday. It always feels good. Do you have something going? I know you got Lakers tonight. Do you sneak something in during the afternoon or tomorrow? What do you got?
You know, I'm actually going to go to the gym and get a couple shots up. You know,
nice.
Honestly, there's nothing better.
No, that's fun.
This is the one thing I can't go anywhere today. So this is when you're trapped because you got the Laker game tonight.
You got tomorrow.
No, tomorrow's all good. But I'm saying that when you have a game, when you have a night like tonight where you work the show, and then you got Lakers later.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, you know, you're not going to go home for 45 minutes. You know, like, that's not going
to
happen.
Where do you go get your shots up? Do you have access to Staples? Do you just go down there and, hey, guys, just kind of, can I have a rack? Somebody get one of the ball boys here to shag. I just want to shoot for like a half an hour.
AD, shoot on the other side, bro. Shoot on the other side.
Can I tell you, this is one of these things that we're very spoiled and very lucky.
I'll get shots up and I'll be winded. Okay, I just getting shots up. I'm going to get winded.
It means that you're in the exact right line of work. That when you take 10 jump shots, you're got your hands on your knees going. Being in the gym.
Got to have the mask on.
Forget that.
Not easy.
Being in the gym, Staples Center, when those guys are doing their warm-up routines and taking, that is so much fun. And that's something that the general public doesn't typically get to see, because by the time they're allowed in the building, they're in their warm-ups and they're going through their routine. But when those guys are out there doing their drills and their ball handling, and there's nothing like that.
Curry has changed the warm-ups.
Yeah.
By the way, Steph yesterday, you know, just ridiculous against the Clippers.
Come on, man.
Why do I care that much about the Clippers losing? I don't know what it is.
I can't help you with that.
Childish. It's so childish.
You know, sometimes when you look at me when I start going about food and you're like, I just
don't
get it.
They don't even have really hateable players.
No.
Yet I'm still...
There's nothing about them that moves the needle in any meaningful way.
Nothing.
Yeah, but you have this deep-seated animosity towards them that's pretty great.
Before COVID, I remember a couple games. It was Steph Curry warming up. Every freaking camera is on Steph Curry. You're just talking about the warm-ups, whatever the case is. He's one of the more exciting players.
He's shooting
players
from the tunnel.
I know.
And he's making shots from the tunnel. There's like nothing else. All right. Travis Lee's brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear is more driven. Let's try a phone call here. Let's go to Boyle Heights and Camillo. Camillo, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call, Jens. I'd like to preface this by saying I can't really speak on anybody that played before the past 40 years, but anybody that's played in the past 40 years, I feel like I can speak heavily on.
Okay.
There's three players that I would put on the list that aren't on there. And that's Pau, that's Dwight, and that's Clay. The three people that I would take off are Damian Lillard, who's never been accused of playing defense a day in his life. Russell Westbrook, I would replace him with Dwight. I feel like Dwight had a much greater effect on his skill set, has had a much greater effect on winning than Russell Westbrook has over his career. And lastly, the person I would replace is Lenny Wilkins. I mean, not Lenny Wilkins, I'm sorry, Dominique Wilkins. Now, I love Dominique. He was amazing to watch, but I kind of put him on the same tier as Tracy McGrady.
I was going to say the McGrady's, Yep. Camille, appreciate you calling in. Trav, this is, I don't know what to tell you. By the way, there is something to, oh, I'm going to take some guy off that played 44 years ago. No, I didn't see him play, so right. I'm not going to. I'm not.
All the more reason to take him off.
I'm not what the reason. I'm not the reason to, yeah. You know, obviously have a say in all that. Yeah, you'll make an. I disagree on the Westbrook front.
I do too.
Disagree on that.
I do too. And I'm not. I like Westbrook is not my guy. Like it's not. But he if we're just picking players, I'm taking Russell Westbrook before I'm taking Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard's a great player. Dwight Howard, you know, defense and everything comes along with it. He plays really hard. But if you're saying there, my pick is next and there's two players left between Russell Westbrook and Dwight Howard, give me Russ.
The point he was making is, and by the way, Dwight in his prime.
He's great.
I mean.
I don't have a problem with
put
Dwight
it this
being
way,
on this
that
list.
That Orlando team beating LeBron James in Cleveland.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? And you eventually lose to the Lakers in the NBA Finals. And, you know, but. We're going to sit here, and I don't understand how you could have one Spur on that list. I don't understand. That's me personally.
Do
right?
you think there's
because
anything...
they didn't win one championship.
Yeah, no,
they didn't win
five.
Two. They didn't win three. Yeah. They won five NBA championships.
Okay, does this – and the criteria for this is kind of nebulous.
What
right?
is the criteria?
Who knows?
I don't know what it is.
You had to be good.
Okay. Or how about you were the best player, one of the best players in the league, but you were on a bad team and a bad franchise.
Yeah,
that, all of a sudden you're looked down upon.
By the way, that's Dominic Wilkins.
That's Damian Lillard.
Right. That it's nebulous.
Dwight Howard.
It's very difficult to put your finger on what it is. But the fact of the matter is you could have a lot of these guys that are like for instance, you're talking about Ginobili and Parker.
Yeah.
I have zero problem with them being left off because I never turned on the TV. I never walked into a building saying, ooh, Tony Parker's playing tonight. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that has any part of the criteria, and it probably shouldn't because you're right. That San Antonio run had a five – they won five championships in a relatively short period of time. That is an amazing –
Which is probably why Clay is saying, what the
That's
hell
exactly
are
right.
you guys doing
That's exactly
not having me on this
The
list.
Difference between Clay, though, and Ginobili mm-hmm. and Parker, they're all wonderful players. The difference is – if I'm walking into Staples and they're playing the Warriors, I want to see Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. I want to see what he's going to do. If I'm flipping channels and I land on TNT and it's a Warriors game and I see Klay out on the court, I'm excited to see what he's got. That wasn't the case for me, just for me,
yeah.
for Ginobili and Parker. So,
but was it the case for Duncan?
Yeah, he was the best player in the league for a period
but
of time.
But what I'm saying is that his style of basketball,
style of
how
basketball,
boring he was, the Spurs,
you're
that
100%
was,
right.
That was their foundation, no,
you're
boring
right.
basketball.
It was, but at least Duncan was out there. He's going to get 30, mm-hmm. and he was going to have 18 rebounds, and he was going to block a bunch of shots, and he was going to hit that turnaround bank shot, 15-footer,
sure.
that you knew it was coming and you couldn't stop it. That it wasn't Steph Curry pulling up from 40 feet, but it was still incredibly impressive just because how incredibly efficient and useful it all was. Ginobili and Parker were really good, but they didn't move me in any way.
I find it, and I get what you're saying, like, you know, the box office attraction
yeah,
of people.
Yeah, that's a good word.
I don't know if that – I don't think of that. When that comes to my mind, I'm trying to determine, hey, who are the top 75 players? I don't really think of – and maybe I look at it the wrong way. Who's the most exciting players that you want to go watch? Because, look, on this list you could say, would Karl Malone sell tickets? Yeah, he'd sell tickets. Who's Karl Malone?
Yeah.
Karl Malone's a well-known player. Would Allen Iverson sell tickets?
For sure.
Of course Allen Iverson would
For
sell tickets.
For sure.
Kind of go down the list. Damian Lillard, does he
yes.
sell? Reggie Miller was
yes.
at one point one of the most exciting
yes.
players that loved going toe-to-toe with Spike Lee at the
Reggie
at the
Miller was
going
to jack up a couple of 30-footers, and you were going to be excited to
Steve
see it.
Steve Nash was box office.
For sure.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yes.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
Dirk.
Yes.
Maybe there's more to that. I don't, clearly need to see that to say this person was, this is why this person's top 75, but that's what makes these lists so exciting.
So let's go to Powell and Dwight a little bit. They're both, neither yeah. one of them are on it. And it depends on what you're looking for, right? That Dwight is a champion. Powell is a multiple-time champion. Their games couldn't be more different. If you put Dwight Howard with Kobe Bryant on those championship teams, that team does not win the way that it did. If you put
Powell, that's interesting to put it that
if,
way.
If you put Pau Gasol on that Orlando team, that
they're
went,
not beating.
They're not beating LeBron James. Give me a break. They're just not doing it. So what flavor ice cream do you like, right? It's really what type of team are we building?
Yeah.
And I think that's why these guys aren't on the list because most of these guys that we're talking about on the list aren't who do they fit well with. It's who fits well with them. Hmm. And these guys are more who do they fit well with.
If I had to pick between those two guys, I don't think I could be objective.
You're a POW guy.
Just love POW.
Yeah. It's not necessarily the wrong choice
but
either.
I'm going to go back to this. This is such a opinion-based. There's no determining factor like, oh, well, no, this is exactly the criteria. That person fits perfectly into that criteria. Because I think if we were doing that, and somebody's going to be – you surprised Clay being that vocal of this is some BS?
No, I'm not. I think that those guys are wired a certain way, that they take things very personally. Then that's what makes them.
I want to see that guy come back so bad.
Absolutely. He's fun to watch. He's box office. You want to see Clay take 10 shots in a quarter and make 9 of them and have the ball in his hands for a collective 14 seconds. There's nothing like it's just an extraordinary show to go see. And that being said, the other guy on his team might be the greatest show of all time in the NBA. When it just comes to pure fun and what's happening out there, we'll get into that a little bit later on in the program. Maybe around 11:45 or so, we'll talk more about Steph. We got to get ready for Dodgers in the Game 6, but fact or cap is next. That's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, factor cap coming up in just a minute or two right here, but we talk about food on this show, and we particularly talk about things that we don't quite get, which brings us to Taylor. Taylor's on the board today, and Taylor, I did not know this about you until earlier today. You're from Iowa.
Yeah, fun fact.
Okay.
From a podunk town in small town Iowa.
Like 3,000 people, you said, small town?
One stoplight, that kind of thing.
Wow. Okay, so small town Iowa also has a weird chili thing going on. Explain yourself.
It's actually the whole state, but in Iowa, for school lunch, they'll serve up chili with a side of a cinnamon roll, and the kids will dip cinnamon roll.
You dip the cinnamon roll in the chili, so that's the salty,
if
sweet thing, right?
You're one of the cool
thing,
kids,
right?
Yeah. You'll dip it.
Al, you going to dip a cinnamon roll in a bowl of chili?
If you told me right now, hey, Al, go in the kitchen. Some great chili in there, and we brought cinnamon rolls. Taylor brought cinnamon rolls because this is what they do in Iowa. I try it. 100% I try it.
Yeah, I'm the wrong. This is the first time you're going to hear me say this. Yeah. I can't cinnamon at all, ever again. I had an experience that I'd rather not recollect.
Fine, mind over matter. You're good.
No, I'm not.
No, you're good.
I can't even smell it, Al. I have to get it's a non-starter. That sounds awful.
So what if I get, you know how some people put cinnamon in their coffee?
Ugh. Animals.
What are you going to do? Like, if you smelt it,
I would leave the room.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost gag-inducing for me. I can't. Look, does it look like there's anything I won't eat? Do I look like somebody that's going to be particularly picky about things?
You're vegan.
I can't do cinnamon. I just, the Pillsbury cinnamon rolls
cinnamon
that had
rolls
spoiled.
Cinnamon rolls and chili.
Took me, yeah, that sounds freaking pretty
I'll bring it
good.
In
is it good?
Day.
Is it good?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it sounds convinced.
Are they both hot or are they both cold? That's two.
Gotta be hot.
Yeah, are you sure?
They're both hot.
Yeah, first of all, I want to have my foot on the brake for cafeteria school chili. That sounds like something that I don't need to be a part of either.
I would walk away after I ate it and say, I want to talk to the superintendent that hired that chef. This is amazing.
Let's do a little factor cap.
It is a cap. Nope. It is definitely a cap.
Stop.
All right. Up first, there's a very special birthday today. Bob Odenkirk, Saul from Breaking Bad, turns 59 today.
Oh, I love Saul.
Saul's great.
Love Saul.
So my statement is, Saul is the best character in Breaking Bad. Travis, this is Factor Cap.
That's a really tough one. There are so many great characters on Breaking Bad, and Saul is definitely one of them. I'm going to say Cap because I think, and he doesn't get into the show until a little bit later on,
yeah,
but Mike is my favorite character on Breaking Bad, and that's why I like Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul.
Yeah, no, I really like that show because Mike's such a big part of it. But you could pick a handful of guys. You know, you've got so many. Gus Fring is an amazing character, but Bob Odenkirk's character Saul is awesome. But I'm going to go with Mike.
I think I only watched Better Call Saul because of Saul. Like, yeah. If you were going to do a spin-off, Breaking Bad was so incredibly, wildly popular, unbelievable actresses and actresses throughout the thing. And then you're going to kind of continue this. I thought Saul was the only character that you can do it with, at least for me. That was my favorite.
Like, Mike isn't intriguing to you? He's a kind of a haunted guy from a troubled past who now has just gone super dark.
Mike is intriguing, but he's not the foundation. I thought Saul you can do that with. And Saul is just such a random character. Yeah. Like everything about him, his personality, his relationships.
Trying to do right, and then it didn't go his way. His brother messed him up.
Yeah,
Chuck's a bad guy. Chuck, speaking of hidden bad guy, Chuck, bad guy. Daniel LaRusso and Chuck, bad guys.
Why is LaRusso getting this all the time?
Because people think he was the hero. And he's
also, what's good about
evil.
Mike is that he loves his granddaughter. Just loves his granddaughter.
Kept trying to give her that money. Never really worked out for him all that well.
I think that's one of the saddest parts of the whole series is that daughter never, that granddaughter never got that money.
Nope.
So up next, speaking of Southern California football, you know, always great. This weekend, UCLA is going to host College Game Day. Exciting,
yeah.
Even though it's probably going to be like 6 a.m. here, which is great.
Oh, it will be 6 a.m., yeah.
But you will see a USC football national championship in your lifetime. Alan, is this fact or cap?
I think it's fact. I think things will eventually turn around. You know, I think anytime you have, it's the equivalent of saying you know, kind of trying to think of the Lakers when they go through that streak of just not even making the playoffs, never. And I know for most franchises, most universities, they'll go their entire, they'll go 100 years without winning anything. It's not uncommon. It happens. I think with USC, it's just, hey, you just got to find the right coach and things got to just slowly start turning around. And once they do, you're still the University of Southern California. So
yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, I agree. It's fact that there are 10 schools that are going to win the national championship. I don't want to say regularly, but they're in the mix regularly. SC is one of them. They're in a low cycle. They're as far away as you can ever be at SC, but they're never super far away because once they get it figured out, it comes right back.
There's certain franchises where it's like, I mean, just if the Yankees are bad for 10 straight years, yeah, it could turn around like that.
Dodgers, too. Yeah, they're right. Just a handful of teams that are like that. Have you ever been to College Game Day? Have you ever gone and done that in person?
I have not done that.
It's really fun. It's really fun. Like you said, it's out at the Rose Bowl getting ready for UCLA and Oregon. I haven't been to the one at the Rose Bowl. I haven't even been to the one at the Coliseum. Yeah. Believe it or not, I went to one in Houston at the University of Houston when they were getting ready. I think it was against SMU where they were the last undefeated team in the country or something like that, and there weren't a bunch of other great games. But they roll that party in the town. It's awesome. Good time.
Are they contractually obligated to do a Pac-12 game? Because it sounds like...
Look at the rest of the schedule this week.
From a strategic perspective, I don't have to look at the rest of the schedule.
There's no good games.
UCLA, Oregon, that's the game?
Yeah, kind of.
By the way...
It's in the Rose Bowl.
By the way,
looks good on TV.
Fun game. Yeah. Cool game. Like I like the idea, but, and I like the concept. The Pac-12 has given you absolutely nothing to send out College Game Day.
You're going to have 20,000 rowdy people in the Rose Bowl that are very excited to be there, and somebody is leaving that with a chance to win the Pac-12. That's the selling point. Mm. Be on board. The party, though, it's awesome.
I actually went College Game Day basketball edition for UVA because it used to come every year, essentially, when UVA would go against Duke. And that one is nice, except for it's freezing cold in UVA. It's like February in Virginia, and I'm just like bundling up trying to get there. Yeah, people wait outside for like 12 hours ahead of time. No thanks.
Hard pass.
So last one. Cruises are coming back in full force after the pandemic. So
cruises.
You would go on a cruise. Alan, is this fact or cap?
Okay, here's my family has brought up before. Hey, what do you think? Should we go on a cruise? This is pre-COVID.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, nah, it doesn't sound like good. Here's my issue. Here's my problem. Problem is it feels like a cruise is very, very commercialized, very... Hey, you come on here, there are 1,000 or how many other people that are on here as well. The food that we're putting out is going to be the same food over and over again. None of it's going to be authentic. There is no like, there is no authenticity to what's happening. Oh, by the way, I have to be in a certain place with the same people. It just like all of that setup does not sound good. I can't get off. I mean, I know it might take some stops. I wasn't a cruise guy before COVID. What would make you think that after COVID, I've all of a sudden become a cruise guy?
You're right. It's cap. I've done one. It was an overnight one, and it was from, believe it or not, it was from St. Petersburg, Russia to Helsinki, Finland. Okay, and
it was just one night.
It was one night. You got on the boat on like noon one day, and the boat starts going, and you arrive in Helsinki the next morning.
Was it freezing cold?
Okay, it was in the middle of summer, so it wasn't super cold. I mean, you're way north, so it's still cold, but it wasn't, you know, frigid
Arctic.
Cold.
Right.
Everything you just said is exactly right.
I can't do it.
I do not need to be on a boat.
No.
I do not need to be around the same people nonstop. And this is, again, coming from me.
I feel like I can get out. Can I go walk on my own? Like, what do you mean I'm stuck here?
Exactly right. And the food person, me, Travis Rogers, like, I don't need you to just gorge me like a Thanksgiving turkey on the same thing over and over. I'm good on that. Let's go to a place and find a place. I'm your guy for that, but nah.
By the way, I know how this works. 2 days ago, whatever food wasn't finished, it's being served 2 days later. Of course it is.
They put the little plastic grass around it, though. It looks fresh again. I'm out on
cruises.
You're a traveler though. Like you're a real traveler. I'm not. I like to stay domestic for the most part. I like to go to places I've been before.
You went to Russia.
That was in high school. They made me go. but this was. I like to be here. I like to go where I know. I'm you are adventurous. You like to see the world.
Me, cruise, cinnamon.
Yeah, well, there's a couple other things on that list, and you've put together the thing that is my version of hell. I'm a big believer in customized hell.
That's my version of hell.
No, see, this is the scariest part, right? Like, my version of hell is what scares me. Your version of hell is what you don't want. Emily's got her version. Taylor's got his version. That it's customized to you. That's why it's really awful.
Sleep.
Because boats, cinnamon.
What do we got there, buddy?
We know his weakness.
Oh, we definitely know his weakness.
The cinnamon?
But I feel like you can overcome this.
No,
it's not. It's not going
to
be. You can do it.
Do I look like I'm going to eat cinnamon with this mustache? It's not going
to
happen.
We need to do like a cinnamon immersion, kind of like with a fear immersion stuff where you put it in a tank of snakes.
Would you rather do the hot wing? We'll do the hot wing instead of cinnamon.
100%. How about a cinnamon crusted wing? That'd be a good way to do it. I really don't need the Dirk Diggler comparison. It was totally unnecessary, Chris. Now I'm Taylor. I'm sorry, but you and I are going to avoid eye contact for a really long time. We'll still get along. We'll be fine. But I'm just going to have to keep that one moving. Here's speaking of Ramel, a regular of ours, Al has tweeted in and says Taylor's from Iowa. He wants to know which town. Tell him I'm from Waterloo, Iowa. Waterloo doesn't do cinnamon rolls with their chili. We're peanut butter sandwiches with chili stands. What's going on in Iowa with you people? Why are you
disgusting.
Fouling your chili with other items? Just eat your chili. What's going on over there?
It's their thing, man.
Yeah, what about a hot dog?
Peanut kind of is a thing that everywhere. Like, I've never heard of give me that bowl of chili, and can you just give me a sidecar of PB&J? That sounds really weird.
I need something sweet with it.
I think every place has like a random thing.
No, well, Cincinnati does that terrible thing where they pour it over spaghetti, which is awful.
Yeah.
But no, there's no weird chili thing here in L.A. where you got it with a tuna sandwich on the side or something.
L.A.'s probably got a couple weird combinations. Not with chili.
Gross. I just think that we've talked about chili more in L.A. than I have ever in my life before. So I think that L.A. just likes chili
Welcome.
In general.
Well, yeah, well, it's good. Who doesn't like chili? Even if it does have a grody cinnamon roll on the side, that's pretty nasty. A little bit of breaking news here. David Price is going to take Joe Kelly's spot on the Dodger postseason roster. So we touched on it briefly a little while ago, Slee. I think the Dodgers missing Joe Kelly is...
It's a big one.
A big blow. Yeah. Not just one of those, you'd really rather have him than not have him. It really alters the way that you manage that bullpen moving forward because there are three guys that have felt damn near automatic, Kelly, Trinan, and Jansen, and now Kelly's gone.
Well, I think to play off of that, the one thing that the silver lining in all this, the bullpen has been amazing. Mm-hmm. And there have been a number of guys that have stepped up. Gratterall is a perfect example so far in the postseason, right? And you're right about that. You don't want to lose Joe Kelly. You don't want to lose Max Muncy. You don't want to lose Justin Turner. You don't want to lose Clayton Kershaw. But if there's one team, one franchise that can overcome some of that, it has been the Dodgers, and unfortunately, that's going to be the case.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Rams and Lions on Sunday afternoon at SoFi. Pregame show starts at 11, Slee. I'm already looking forward to people coming up. Where's Slee? Hey, where's Slee? That's Slee! Draft! That's Slee! Yeah, he's not here. He's doing the Laker game. This is the Rams pregame show, but that will happen. The Rams are 15-point favorites. Okay, that's about as
we
big as
we did our pick-ems yesterday.
Yeah, it's about as big as you see in the NFL. Yep. That's a 2-touchdown-plus favorite. Does it matter if they win the game by 6 or 5 or whatever it is? Or is there something about style points in this game? Or is it just put a W, move to 6-1, and keep it moving?
So at the end of the season, are we going to look at how much did they beat the Detroit Lions by? Probably not.
Right.
You know, I don't think most people are going to pay attention to that. But at the same time, I'm gonna use this as an example. The Cardinals, was it last week they beat San Francisco? Or was that 2 weeks ago?
Couple weeks ago.
No, they beat Cleveland. They were at Cleveland last week. A couple weeks ago, after the win against the Rams, they go 4-0. And such a decisive win at SoFi Stadium. And everybody's looking at oh my gosh, look at Arizona. They have a home game against the San Francisco 49ers. And I think they won that game 17-10. And I don't know what it was, but there was a, you know, kind of a taste in your mouth. Like, yeah, no, I know they won, but wow, that's kind of a little bit of a letdown because you came off the game against the Rams. You thought you'd handle business against San Francisco, even though it's a divisional opponent.
And San Francisco's not a bad
team. They're not a bad team, but what you did to the Rams on the road, you'd expect, hey, they're going to win by 10-plus points. When it's all said and done, when the dust settles, no, I don't think it matters whether they win this game by 6 or by 3 or by 16 or 25. But I think for the Rams, look, you saw what they did to the Giants after the first quarter last week. They're walking into this game at home against a Detroit Lions team, and maybe Sean McVay, of course, would never say it. McVay and Stafford, or this is Matt Stafford's chance to go play up against his old team.
Sure.
I don't think I would be disappointed if they don't win, if they don't cover that spread.
I wouldn't.
Win by 10 plus. I hope they win by 13 because I picked the Lions to not cover it in our pick-ems.
There's a couple of things going on. Number one, the Lions have a terrible record. They're 0-6. They're the only team in the league that has not won a game. But they're not necessarily as terrible as their record. Don't get me wrong. They're bad. I'm not making a case for how they're actually a sneaky good team. But they had the Ravens beat. Guy had to kick a 66-yard field goal to beat them and get 2 extra seconds on the play clock. So they beat a good team. So they're the difference between the very good teams in the NFL, the Rams, and the very bad teams in the NFL, the Lions – The gap in talent is not as extreme as you might. It's not the difference in talent between Alabama and, say, Fresno State. It's not like that. It's more like the difference between SC and UCLA. Even the good teams and the bad, they're relatively close. So there's that. There's also this. Sean McVay has a decision to make. Do I want to prove a point and go out there and say, this is what this offense looks like and that's what your offense looks like, which is a possibility. Or, you know what, I'm not showing anybody anything. I can win this game just playing it straight up in vanilla. I'm just going to go out there and win the game. I'm not putting anything on tape that I don't have to put on tape, and I'm just going to win this game. And if I win by 7 or 6 or 5, that's fine.
What'd they do against the Giants of those two scenarios? What'd they do?
They ran them out of the
building.
Did
they show anything?
Nothing tricky necessarily, but they,
I agree.
They put a lot of stuff on tape.
But talent is talent, and I think a lot of times it's not – yeah, you're not. You don't want to show – hey, when we have a really important game, we like running this play, and we're going to save that for – no, you're not going to show that against the Detroit Lions. But yes. I think just naturally through the flow of four quarters, even if it McVay – and I don't think – I'm with you on – I don't like the McVay coming out in this and saying, I'm trying to prove a point. You don't have a point to prove. You don't need to do that.
I agree with you.
I don't think
that doesn't mean
that.
It won't happen, though.
But naturally, just because of the matchup, yeah, they should be winning by double digits. And if they don't, the world's not going to end, but they should.
I think the only way that the score matters is if the Rams play like you-know-what and they need a bomb kick to beat them at the end. That would be like, hey, what the heck was that? Mm-hmm. And even then, it's like, look, they played poorly, but they still found a way to win. They're 6-1. The Lions are 0-7. Let's just keep it moving.
I got 6K on Goff this weekend.
Make sure that you're listening all Monday. We'll break this entire thing down for you. And it's Million Dollar Mondays.
That's right.
I know you don't care about that, but most people are excited about the opportunity to win $1 million.
And you can
go
to SoFi.
And you can go to SoFi to see a Rams game along the way. All right. You mentioned a name. Brusdar Gratterall pitched wonderfully last night. He's going to have to pitch again on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to pitch again on Sunday if, in fact, we get to
Sunday.
Only
thing, he got fooled on a breaking ball on a 1-2 count and swung and missed.
There's the question. What in the world?
What is he doing at the plate?
Was he doing in the batter's box?
No. As in, how come he didn't get a hit?
No. That it got lost in the shuffle, but I have a big Dave Roberts question for you when we come back. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.